Good morning, Gloucester. This is Alicia Unleashed, episode 69, take two. and we are with our special guest tonight, and that's Joey C.
Joey C. We're taping at my house. First podcast taped at my house.
Which is exciting. I'm excited. I'm excited to be here.
I'm very excited. I'm sad that we haven't had a homie cast with the boys all summer long, but it's been a crazy summer for me.
Yeah, I thought for sure that you would have christened the place with them. You know, you have this gorgeous deck, you have this amazing backyard, you have 5,000 Weber grills, so you could cook 5,000 things all at the same time.
It's sad. tell me about the Alicia Unleashed podcast. How have you been getting feedback from people on the street?
We still do, you know, random people, like, you know, random cousins, hey, Alicia Unleashed. I'm like, what? Oh my God, you listen? Yeah, definitely random people that will say, yeah, we're listening. They listen. And then can you guys comment? You know, can you guys be interactive? Because we don't know if you listen. So that's why we say we have a lot of closet listeners, because we really do have people that listen, which is so crazy to me. So yeah.
I love the Alicia Unleashed podcast. I like it when you guys go off the rails. I think probably any of the podcasts, people probably like it when you go off the rails. I like it when you guys talk... Now, I like it when you have the single people on and they're talking about their single people exploits. I don't know why. I just find it fascinating. It's been so long since I've been single and stuff. I love it when, like, Kyle and Bridget are when you were single.
Yes.
And you were kind of, like, talking. You know, it's just interesting. I love when they carve some dude. I love hearing, like, what they hate what men do and what they like what men do.
Right.
It's always just fascinating to me because... dating today is so much different than dating when, I mean, it's forever ago since I was dating, right? So, like, even when I got divorced, it's just like
you still met Kate the old-fashioned way. So that's why you never even had to go into the whole
Tinder or any of that. The Grindr.
No, because you met her the old-fashioned way, the way that people don't even meet anymore.
Yeah, you know, it's weird, like, you know, texting, and it's just weird now, but, like, that whole, I'm really, really, really glad, because I feel like relationships are a lot more fleeting nowadays, from what I see out there. Like, people don't take it as seriously, like...
They don't try hard enough, or, you know, they're just kind of like they treat them like they're disposable. Like, I'll just go get another one.
Well, not so much like the breaking up and stuff like that, but like I feel like people don't even care to be in relationships. I feel like younger people today, like, they don't go. They don't. I feel like the way families were built and what. I think the millennials have just thrown all the rules out the window, like what you're supposed to do on everything, and they just I feel like they play by their own rules.
Right. They're against the rules, right? So we're not going to play by your rules. We're just going to do how's that working for you? You know?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think it's good, you know. I think there's something to it though. There's something to not I feel like the, you know, like when we were younger, like, okay, you get to be this age, you're supposed to be married, you're supposed to have kids right away, and you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that, and like sometimes people get put into holes, and you know, there's very few women that I know from my generation that escaped, like, even if they knew that they weren't marriage material or ready to get married, that escaped the whole getting married thing, even if it wasn't the right thing to do.
Right.
I feel like today it's way more acceptable for a young woman to not get married.
Right. Well, right.
Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Doing their own thing, or, you know, oh, they're not going to have kids until they're 35. Okay. You know, it's because they need their career first and they need to. Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, that's cool. You know, most people. Right. And, you know, talking about the old days, you know, when they want you to be married off and have kids by the time you're in your 20s. I mean, no, it's definitely, there are just some women that don't want the family to balance the career and the family. They don't want to. They want to do either or. You know, I'm a multitasker. I did both. So, but, and so that's, so it's hard for me to wrap my mind around it because I don't know. I did both. And and you can do both, but just some, like my sister's one of them. My sister's 29 years old. She was in a relationship for 5 years, but now she just doesn't want to intertwine the two. She wants, she's so focused on finishing her bachelor's in nursing, and then she wants to meet someone. So it's, and I'm like, but can't you do both? But they just feel like they're just putting so much time, you know, into one thing that they feel like they can't give the time to somebody else.
You know, yesterday was coming out day.
Yes, I didn't know that.
Your job is HR.
So
do you get a thing saying, "Hey, it's coming out day today. Make sure you make people feel extra comfortable coming out today."
No. I have Facebook, social media, I have a lot of friends. From the, what is it? How many letters do we have in it now?
LBGQ. You know who could tell you?
Bridget could tell you. Yes, absolutely.
Alyssa.
Yes, Bridget could tell me. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. So, but I didn't know that. Yes. Do you have?
That was Alexa.
Oh, that was Alexa.
Did someone say Alexa?
I don't think I said Alexa.
Oh, don't do that because she'll start talking to us.
Oh, no, which one is, obviously, there's only two, right? There's the dot, and which one is that?
No, there's like seven now.
There is.
Alexa, play a song by Bruno Mars.
Shuffling songs by Bruno Mars.
Love it.
Alexa, stop. Thank you.
Fades it out. That's
how great is that?
Yeah. I do love Alexa. Do you have one? No, I don't. Peter has one, and I kind of really want one. He just has the dot, but it just does. It's just so awesome. Like, I love it. I should get one.
It's bananas not to own one. And I'm going to tell you why it's bananas not to own one. And we'll get back to the coming out day in a second. But you see that thing, that's the Echo. That's the Echo, right?
Okay.
So it is as good. This is a fairly large room, wouldn't you say? It's like a wide open floor plan room.
Correct.
If I turn that up loud, you would not want it to be any louder than what that little canister will pump out.
Right.
You get them on sale for every like month or so. They go on sale for a refurbished one for $80. So you're getting a Bluetooth speaker for $80, and then all of the functionality that goes with it, which is
hooking it
infinite.
Up right.
Alexa, what time is it?
The time is 5:40 p.m.
Alexa, when do the Patriots play next?
The Patriots will play this Sunday at 1 p.m. away against the Jets.
So how do you use Alexa the most? Like, why do you, like, I know, like, random stuff, like what you just did, would be awesome. I'd do that all day long because it's really cool. But is there a specific reason that you use it?
Okay, so here, I'll go through the list. I have a little one, the little puck, like
the Peter, dot.
Like the dot. I have one of those in the bathroom because the bathroom doesn't need a bigger one. You get those for $35 on sale, right? $35, you can get those on sale. It's white, just like my countertops, you know, my quartz countertops. So it blends right in.
Okay.
Looks cool. But when I go in, as soon as I get in the shower, I say, play my playlist.
Amazon playlist. You would do it for music. I'm thinking, why do you have a dot in your...
So it plays music. Or music. If I want to know what time it is, how much time do I have left? Or leave a note, leave a reminder. So it also has an app that's on your smartphone. I can type a message for Kate, a reminder or something.
Yeah.
And it will play at a certain time. It'll play. She'll say the message for Kate.
Get out.
I leave her little love notes every single day. I say,
can I do that with a dot?
Of course. Yeah. Well, you have to be hooked into his dot.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'll say, Kate, has anyone told you you're the most beautiful woman in the world today? I like, you know, but I make up different ones every single day.
That is awesome.
So every day she's like here, 8 o'clock in the morning, have her coffee, and she gets a little love note from me.
That is amazing. I would get it just for that.
$80, right? I mean, that's for the good. That's for the good one. I mean, you could get the $35 one.
Peter, are you taking note? Peter, because I know he's listening. He's one of my only listeners.
And they're tremendous, aren't they? But they're tremendous gifts, because you could get the $80 one. You get the $35 one. Like, who? What? Right. Get one for your son. Get one for your daughter.
Does the Dot and the Echo do the same thing?
Same exact thing. That has a better speaker.
Okay, that's still longer. Okay.
You know,
all right.
Same exact thing. That's just, I mean, that's a great speaker.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
That's awesome.
But this, and it can also, you could say, it's, I have it hooked up to my lights downstairs and stuff.
Yeah.
Say, Alexa, dim my lights to 50%. Mm-hmm. Dims the lights to 50%.
Right.
This is, and you know, they have all the other stuff. Like, you could have a lock at your door lock.
Right.
Alexa, unlock the door.
Wow.
You know.
Awesome. Yeah, I've been thinking about getting one.
It's like, what are you gonna what do you have to lose? Yeah. I mean, $80, $35.
Right.
It's not gonna break it.
His company basically for Christmas gave everyone at the party last year, their Christmas party, everyone got a Dot. I'm like, what?
I'm gonna tell you right now, this Christmas, it's gonna, I'm gonna say it right now, it'll be the number one Christmas present.
And it's so funny because it's been around. So it's not new. It's not like 6 months old. Like, but it's been around still.
Early adopters and not early adopters. I feel like last year, like, it was the beginning Christmas, like, you know.
Right. Yes. Right. Because it was a
this
big
year,
thing.
At
yeah.
those price points, it'll
Right. So you're drinking Bud these days, huh?
Bud Light. It's water. It's basically water, because I've been working, you know, like a maniac and getting up early, so I basically can't really get drunk. If I get drunk, I have to function. I have to function at a high level for
right.
six, like 14 to 16 hours a day.
A day, right, exactly.
Yeah. It's not easy. So, yeah, so that's why I drink Bud Light in this time of year. 2.5 more months and then I can...
And then you
live
can.
Like a human being again.
Well, speaking of Bud Light, the coming out day. Okay, finish your thought. Because of social media and you know, people on my social media that are gay, and you know, actually, a lot of them, what they did is they told their coming out story, which is different for everyone, it's great, and it's really funny because it depends on the generation. You know, because nowadays they're just leaping out of the closet, you know, just like, here I am, you know, 8 years old, hi, I'm gay.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was not like that. And actually, it was perfect because Will and Grace had an episode, their episode last Thursday.
Which they came back and seeing them on television, they don't look like they've aged at all.
No, they haven't.
It's crazy.
No, for real. Like, they have not.
I know. It's like,
and they even look better than what they did before.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the craziest thing. And the episode was about how Jack and Will are old now, right? So they're considered daddies in the community because they're older. So the 20-something-year-olds are attracted to them because why? They haven't aged, right? They look great. And he was giving the 20-something-year-old a lecture about, you don't know what it's like to come out. He's like, oh, I came out when I was 8 years old, and then I had my parents threw me a coming out party.
A whole different thing, right?
You're right. He's like, you don't know what it took to be, you know, I was in the closet till my 20s. And it's so, so true. So,
okay, that's perfect. So now, Black Lives Matter. The LGBT movements with the pink, you know, and then the people with the pink hat.
There's always a movement.
The big time movements and the outrage that there is today, which is, I understand there needs to be awareness and everything, but isn't the crazy outrage all the time, like, we've never been more tolerant and accepting and happy to accept gays than we are now.
Right.
It's never been cooler to be black than it is right now. Or maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, like I feel like being gay now is how cool it was to be black like 4 or 5 years ago. It's all awesome stuff, right? I feel like there has been leaps and bounds, and there can always be, you know, a perfect world where, you know, like there's more acceptance and less like racism. I'm not saying there's no racism,
right?
But to say that to act like the level of racism now is the way it was 20, 30, 40 years ago, it's kind of like insane to me.
Well, I think it also depends on where you live. So I feel that Massachusetts is a very tolerant state, right? Mm-hmm. And when we look at racism, we are like, what do you mean? It still exists. This is crazy. And then the minute you go down to Georgia, right? And you go to
Carolina, we're talking about removing the Confederate flags and
all that stuff. But even, you know, going down to Georgia and seeing their old fashioned values and kind of still how they view down there, it's night and frickin' day. So that's why, you know, so I really it's there, but I think it depends on where you live and your day to day, because I'll tell you right now, it's night and day between Massachusetts and right outside Atlanta. Yeah. It's completely different. I went there last year for my best friend's wedding, and I just couldn't believe it. And it was gays and blacks. I just could not believe
There was no tolerance.
No, we had there was a gay couple at the wedding, and you know, they really wouldn't dance. They wouldn't get up because they didn't feel comfortable.
Really?
Because it's not accepted in within their families. And really down there right now, it's accepted. Not like, I feel like it's not like it is up here. Like we would never see that up here as much. You know, I'm sure it happens within, but it just blows my mind. It blew my mind because I have not seen that in maybe ever in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So.
Yeah, I see.
And the way that they address down, the way that they address down there. So when they were speaking of someone of color, they would actually mention that every time they talked about someone of color. And that, to me, it was like culture shock going down there. You know, Mr. David, he lives across the street, but he's black. Okay, what does it matter? Miss Lisa, she lives across the street. And her husband, Mr. John, you knew they're white. You didn't have to say it. Every single time they addressed it, it was like,
that's holy
crap. It brought me back. I'm like, what?
That's bananas.
Right. And I'm like, what year am I? What year is this, honestly? Like, it's crazy. So I really believe it depends on where you live. And every states or certain parts of the country are just more tolerant, and it still exists. So when things are happening still to what, that's how that's how I feel about it.
Well, there's something to it for sure there. Then, you know, I see it, I don't know, the whole college kids today and the safe spaces and it's just like, oh my fucking word, like, can we just
And I understand, and we also go in, and then the also like the women's movement, right? So ever since the women's movement, we have some radical feminists that take, nothing can be said, right? Because everything is taken out of context. So the whole Cam Newton thing, which I had posted about, that I feel that is right in that category. And then in turn, we'll talk about that, the reporter and the racist comments that she's made, because it was on the internet 4 years ago. And once it's on the internet, you're never getting it off.
So you're talking about Cam Newton made a statement to a female reporter. The female reporter asked him a question about a route, and he kind of said, it's kind of funny to hear from a woman talking about a route, like you shouldn't, what woman knows how to talk about that?
Well, it's not for nothing, it's how he said it, and it was very playful, because I watched it again and again, and I wanted to read body language, how is he saying it, and it was really, and it was very playful. Okay, so if anything, he was it sounded like he was trying to get in bed with her. Because the way that when he heard that question, and it wasn't, I'm laughing at her, he wasn't being facetious, he wasn't being malicious. He was just kind of laughing, like, hey, like, That's pretty funny because I've, you know, I haven't heard females talk about roots. And then people will say, well, I'm sure he's gotten questions from female reporters. And I'm like, I'm sure he has. I'm sure he's gotten questions from male reporters. But how many reporters are very specific? Not how is the game or what are you going to do in the game or how many yards? She was specific in her question. And I don't feel that it was malicious intent at all. But because everybody wants to jump on the whole, oh, because he said the word, and first of all, he said the word female, so that was polite. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just...
Well, those people freaked out. But it was interesting that these people all came, the intolerant left came rushing to her to anoint her as this poor thing and everything like that. And then it comes out the next day that... You know, a couple of years prior, she had made all these racist comments on Twitter. So, who's the asshole? Like, is everybody an asshole?
Right.
And I guess what it comes down to for me is, I think at one point or another, if you took a 20-minute segment or 160 characters, because Twitter is 160 characters, of any person's what they've said over the course of their lives. That you could fucking destroy any human being on the fucking planet,
right?
But if you took things out of context or blew people up, so like there are certain athletes, there's certain like NFL owners, there's certain people in society that like have done like ridiculous amounts of charity work, of good things for the community. Giving back and everything else.
It's never that they see or talk about. It's always
It's always like, you know, they build people up to take them apart. You know, they build them up to take them apart. And like, it's just so funny that like, you know, these people like putting all their stock into this female reporter that felt that she got slighted. And then if they dig a little bit deeper, they see how many, I mean, the horrible comments that she made, racist comments that she makes.
Right.
It's just like, oh, what do you do now? Okay, where you fall now? Where you gonna fall now? You
know,
intolerant left,
right.
You know, PC police. Where are you now on this one?
Right.
You know?
And did she come out with a statement and make a 10-minute frickin' apology about, oh, what you've seen on my Facebook and my Twitter, I didn't, you know, all that shit? No.
She did apologize. She did apologize.
Who did she apologize to?
I think it was a general statement. I don't want to say it for sure, but it was like a general statement, like, you know, I am so sorry for my statements. You know, I am very remorseful and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
Now you are.
Yeah, now she. Right.
Now you are.
Now you are.
Yeah,
that's right.
Now you are.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Bitch,
but,
keep walking.
Yeah.
I can't. I just really just freaking can't.
That's crazy. It's crazy. Wait,
I want to go back to my Bud Light cup.
Bud Light.
Bud Light.
So we have
Bud Light.
Two Bud Light cans on the countertop as we speak.
Yes.
And
so the NFL came out with a Bud Light cup this season. And it's about $17. And you can go on NFL.com and grab it. It is actually, oh, Lord, I think it's like 24-ounce plastic cup. And at the bottom is a Bluetooth, and it's a blue light. And there's a Bud Light app, and then you hook it up, and then you get to pick your NFL team that you're watching that day. And when they get a touchdown, it lights up.
That's awesome. $17 seems cheap.
You think so?
For something that's
Bluetooth
activated?
Yeah, I guess. I'm thinking in the terms of it's a plastic cup. And actually, you can untwist it, so you can put it like in the dishwasher or something like that. So you can actually untwist it. Yeah. So it's great. So every time I use it, I take a picture, I tweet Bud Light, and whoever's on the Bud Light team, they're great because they're always tweeting me back.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
Weber's the same way. They like if you mention them, they'll even if it's like this little tiny thing, like that looks great, they always get back to you. There's something, you know, it's a great thing for businesses to recognize, like no matter bigger or small.
Oh yeah.
If you like, big company can afford to have one person just looking at hashtags, that responding to everything that they get tagged in.
Right,
they're crazy not to, right?
Right. I had the JetBlue, you know, a couple of years ago when they had the
blue
chips. And they direct messaged me and asked me for my address, and they sent me blue chips.
That's awesome.
So, you know.
And JetBlue for life.
Yeah, JetBlue for life, man. So, you know, things like that was so cool. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. But, like, you know, and then, so that was great. But I had said to them they should, you know, put up a cup, a multi-purpose cup for hockey, basketball, you know, all that. So no matter what sport you're watching, I think that'd be brilliant. Really cool. So it's a really cool cup. I love it.
Oh, God. So I went to Passports today. See, Eric Lorton, our friend, mm-hmm. is using social media wisely.
Yeah.
Just about every day he posts his daily specials.
Yep, as it should be.
I just happened to be scrolling through my Instagram feed and I see his daily specials and something caught my eye. The red curry salmon. I'm a sucker for curry. So I'm like, it was 11 o'clock or so. I'm like, Kate, want to go to Passports? Boom, get in the car.
No brainer.
We go to Passports. I posted his menu. I took a picture of his red curry salmon and put it on Instagram or whatever. It was on Facebook and it's just, it was great. I want to talk about something though.
Okay.
And this isn't at Passport. This is at, it seems like every restaurant I go to. And I want to get your opinion on this.
Okay.
If you think that this is by design or just freakish luck. You know how like after you kind of like you've been eating for about 5-10 minutes and the waitress comes over to ask you how the meal is?
Mm-hmm.
Always does that, right?
Right.
A good waitress does that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, customer service.
Customer service. Do you think that they really don't want to have a conversation with you, so they wait for you to, like, the very second you put a full mouthful of food in your mouth, then they ask the question, and they kind of, like, just wave you off, and they just jet off to the next table? Because I swear to God, like,
I know.
Every time,
I know.
I get my head down, I put a full mouthful, and they're like, how's the food? I'm like,
I
give them a thumbs up, it's just, like, so awkward.
I've been on the other side, so I'm obviously been on both sides of it, but being on the other side of it, when I go up to someone's table and you know, I say, how is everything? Why are they always putting food in their mouth? And I'm always like, so I recognize it on the other side and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, but you know, what am I gonna do? But yeah, being on the other side of it, definitely. You can't help it. I just think it's just a freaking timing thing. That's
awkward.
What I think.
It's always awkward.
Every time. It's every time. Every time. 9 times out of 10.
I know. It's like a magnet. It's like some synapse in your brain says, ask the question now. He just put food in his mouth.
Yeah.
Or the inverse of that. Put food in your mouth. She's about to ask you how your meal was.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. No, Passports is, again, what I'm... It's been probably the most consistent restaurant I've been to in the past 20 years.
I'm gonna put two other restaurants up there with it. I'm gonna put the Franklin.
Yes. Right.
And yep. I'm gonna put Duckworth's.
Okay. I've never been in Duckworth's.
That's bananas.
I know.
If you live in this town and you haven't been to Duckworth's,
I know.
That is like inexcusable. It's ridiculous.
I know. I don't.
How have you not? I mean, you've been with Peter. So wait. So you with Chris. Chris is a great guy, good friend of ours, mine. And you're friendly with him and everything like that. But like you were married for a long time.
Right.
How did you like not and wait, let me finish. So you're divorced from Chris.
Yes.
And you figure like you bring Pete into town, mm-hmm. why wouldn't you want to bring him to a place that you never went with ex-husband?
I know. So Chris and I actually made a few reservations and we ended up canceling because we'd always do it last minute and then we'd get a 9 o'clock reservation and we would never be out that late. And at Duckworth's, if you want to get in on a weekend, you better be
2 weeks ahead of time.
At least 2 weeks ahead of time. And we never got the frickin' just of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we made attempts because we were like, we got to get to this place. So now I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to try a different approach and I'll go on a week night and sit at the bar because I have, you know, like another friend of ours, Muffy Lake, right? She's like, she's like, Alicia, just go to the bar. I could go to the bar on a Tuesday night, a Wednesday night, and I could get a place. I'm like, what? Really? doesn't have to be a weekend. So I'm going to have to just change up my approach.
Yeah.
Because I need to go.
I haven't been in over a year, which is blasphemy. I mean, they buy our lobsters, the lobster risotto.
I've heard bananas. So much about that.
Yeah, everybody gets it and everybody freaks out. But beyond that, like, it's the same thing. Like, I don't plan far enough in advance. I call, inevitably, and I'm like, yeah, oh yeah, we can seat you at 5, or we can seat you at 9. I'm like, I'm not out of work till 6, and by 9, I'm in bed. So,
right. Yeah. So, yeah.
Little planning.
Yeah. I have taken Peter to Franklin, though. And he loved it.
We were Kate and I were there the other night. Marita, I mentioned her in Gloucester, the latest Gloucester cast, how I don't know how she does it, but not only is the food, everything is great every time, but the decor, she changes, like the bathrooms are fresh. Everything is like fresh. There's new artwork on the walls.
Yeah.
She keeps it.
She has an eye for that, and she does. She's just great at what she does.
Yeah. I mean, we're lucky. We're spoiled in this town, and we didn't mention probably 10 other awesome places, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean...
Yeah, no, those are definitely probably... And also, they've been around the longest.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so, you know, Jalapeno is probably next to being around the longest before that, but they've been around the longest, and they're the most consistent. I can have, the same dish that I was having 20 years ago tastes the same 20 years.
Steak with pommes frites?
Yes! But that's the thing. That's what they don't... People, don't, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's why it's the most popular.
I would like... Maria, if you're listening to this... If there's any way your computer system could punch up how many hanger steaks that place has pumped through, it would be a great like, you know how like Lillian Lagrasso always does like these games, guess how many fucking jelly beans are in the jar or something like that. It'd be a great if Maria could go to her computer and figure out how many hanger steaks she sold.
Yes,
it would be a great guess. Like everybody puts in their guess.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
Can you reach out to her on Facebook and see if that's possible? Because that would be a great thing.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
It's been around. I forget when she bought it.
When
did she buy it?
Well, I don't know when she actually bought it, because she came over.
Within the past 10 years.
She was there with the Franklin group from Boston.
Correct, right.
From the South End. But I can tell you, Ron Gilson bought the Union Hill Cafe.
Yes.
In 1981, and he ran it for 13 years. 13 years, I think it was 94. It was my favorite restaurant. It was what I credit as kicking off the restaurant scene in Gloucester. It was in that space. It was a French restaurant.
Oh, I know. Yep.
Au Beaujolais.
Yes.
Au Beaujolais.
Yep.
David Amaral and Alex. I forget Alex's last name. Alex was the chef. David was the front of the room. They were there for 2 or 3 years. So that was 94. So it was probably, I want to say it was 97.
When the Franklin opened.
When the Franklin opened. Actually, the Au Beaujolais opened up where Franklin is from Union Hill Coffee Shop.
Right.
They kind of fell apart at Au Beaujolais where Union Hill Coffee Shop was.
Right.
They opened up downtown where Maria's place is. They built that bar. That bar was...
Oh, okay.
If you look at the bar, it's a bunch of fireplace mantles.
Yeah.
That they stained and put in there and put mirrors in where the openings were. Take a look at the bar next time you're there. Because I was there when they were building, because I was so happy that they were. Because when I was younger and single, Au Beaujolais, I was going into Boston at that time, meeting people. But it was such a go-to thing for me. I want you to come to Gloucester and just check out this French...
Right. Bougie restaurant.
French restaurant. And I'd go there, and it was so great because I'd always sit at the bar, and Toby Pett That's where I met Toby Pett.
No.
He was a bartender there. Yes.
No, he was not.
Toby was a bartender.
For the very first time, that's how you met him?
First time I ever met him, he was a bartender there. He was a great bartender.
And this was 90 what?
I'm going to say it was 94, 95.
I would love to see a picture of what Toby looked like in 94, 95.
He was a lot more spelt. But the same Toby, same Toby. So he was behind the bar, and every girl that I brought there, he would act like it was the first time I brought a girl there.
It was awesome. He knows.
It was great. It was great. It was like, yeah. So that was the move. I go there and like.
It's awesome.
Oh God, it was great. And yeah, good times. But that got old fast, you know, being single and just doing that.
Sucks. Like,
I did
it for a year and a half, and I hated every minute of it.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. It's an empty lifestyle. No matter how much sex you have, no matter how many, like, it's an empty hole.
I was dating 3-4 times a week, different guys.
That's filthy.
Not sleeping with them, Joey. That's
disgusting.
Not sleeping with them.
See, if it's a guy doing that, he's a hero, but it's a girl doing that. The cliche is she's a whore.
Double standard. Yeah,
total double standard.
No, totally.
And by today, nowadays, see, back then, that's the way way common people thought.
Right.
Nowadays, you say that out loud, and you're like, "What kind of fucking cretin talks like that?"
Yeah.
And it is right. That's cretin talk. I'm glad that girls are more liberated now. It's nice for a girl to be able to, you know.
Go do what she wants.
Do what she wants and not be looked down upon for it. That's ridiculous that a man could only do that before now and a woman couldn't.
No, and women are smart enough to not just, you know, talk about everything all the time. Most of them, right? They usually keep it under the vest, and all the guys, they're all like, you know, they like to, oh, yeah, you know, they like to brag and stuff. But women are probably like, bitch, I'm doing that too. I'm just not talking about it.
So, yeah.
But
so anyway, we got off track. So 94. So 94. It went from Eau Beaujolais to Cafe Beaujolais.
Yes.
So they probably only lasted a year. So I'm gonna say nine. My guess is, and this is another question for Maria. Did
Franklin get there in 97?
Cafe start? No, I'm gonna say it was 95.
Oh, 95.
My guess is 95.
Okay.
95 or 96.
Okay.
For Franklin. All right. I'm writing it down.
Okay.
Do you have her number?
I don't have her number, but I'm friends with her on Facebook, and we've messaged.
Can you Facebook her, message her right now?
Right now?
Yeah. I would be intrigued. You could tell her we're having a big conversation about the Franklin, and we're asking. And I knew Maria from when in East Gloucester Square. It's a residence now.
Yep.
She worked at, was it Espresso's? It was Espresso's or something before Espresso's.
Yes.
It was a great little place. They had great broccoli chicken
wasn't
ziti.
It was Pronto's.
Pronto's, yeah.
Pronto's.
Yeah, she worked there, and that's when I first met her, and you could get like a huge like styrofoam container that was like bursting at the seams. Chicken broccoli ziti with like a ton of garlic. It was like a half a mile, not even a half a mile from the wharf. And I'd bounce up there and get like this huge like meal for myself and pound it down. It was great.
Let's see.
It's taking you a while.
I had to get over to it first. Everyone's sharing my podcast today with the Waxed to Riches that I did. It posted today with Christy Nicastro and Patty Bonafonte. So, you know, that's blowing up right now.
It's blowing up. It's blowing up.
All right. So what do you want me to say to her?
I want you to ask her, what year did the Franklin Cafe, in, you know, with her location, when did it take over from Cafe Beaujolais?
Okay.
And tell her that we're talking about her on the
Alicia Unleashed podcast.
Alicia
Unleashed.
She's going to have to listen tomorrow. It's going to be her number one assignment. While you're doing that, I'm going to give a quick shout out to our great friend, not our good friend, but our great friend, Hannah Kimberly, who is blowing it up with Smith book.
Yeah.
A Woman's Place is at the Top.
Mm-hmm.
Chronicle, Capan Chamber Businesswoman's Luncheon.
She was a keynote speaker at the annual Capan Chamber Business. I mean, that's a big, when you say that, that is a big deal. That is really cool.
That is a huge deal.
It's really
cool. NPR, a nation that goes all over the world, is a pretty big deal too, NPR.
So, right, right.
Huge, 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 huge. So we want to give a shout out. I believe, you know, it's funny, like Craig and Hannah, you know, they're modest people.
Love, yes.
Right, they're not living above their means. They, you know, I'm predicting a movie deal.
That was my first thing I said to her when this book came out, and I started reading it. Into chapter two, I'm like, this is going to be a movie.
There's got to be a movie.
Why wouldn't it be?
It's more like of this time frame in the United States history, like the subject matter alone, right, without being this time frame in history, would stand to be financed as a movie, right? I mean, it's very relevant in today's times.
And hiking is so big nowadays.
Hiking, women's issues, all of it, all of that, huge, 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 huge.
But and, how many people especially, do you know they're posting on social media? They're going to hike a mountain, you know, like
it's
just.
It wasn't just that.
No, it wasn't just that. But I'm saying going to school, no. All I understand that, but I'm just saying
travel
like
that she did.
Right. No, I understand all that.
Trailblazer.
But you know, just there's a commonality in there. You know, it's not. Like it was, it's relevant to today. It's relevant, right?
Yeah,
so it's not like she was doing some crazy sport that no one ever does anymore. It's still relevant today.
Right, absolutely.
People who are, you know, who are heavy into hiking and climbing and everything, they're going to be even more interested in this story because of that
on
nature.
So many different levels.
Right.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, just go, name all the way around.
Yeah. And now that Harvey Weinstein's not, that chauvinist pig isn't the guy that's writing the checks to get these movies produced, maybe that studio, it would be really good for them, you know, to step up and say, we want to finance this. It would be a good PR move for them.
Right.
You know what I found interesting?
What?
So for people, everybody has to know this, but I'll go quickly. Harvey Weinstein, like a huge movie mogul, like financed movies, and you know, it has to be a bazillion movies over many decades. Recently, a ton of female actresses came out saying that he sexually harassed them. Is that the right term?
Yes.
Sexually harassed them. Basically, you know, you want this role.
Or even above and beyond that. You know, if they had said, if you do this act, then you will get this. Not just, you know, scare them. Sexual harassment, not just
verbal.
Did
any girls actually blow him and say blew him?
Yes.
Which girl said that?
I don't know. But Gwyneth Paltrow came out that he did it to her, but she's not coming out with what yet. I mean,
Ashley Judd? Was it Ashley Judd or was it some other stunning?
It was,
it wasn't
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie?
Yep, she came out with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Some other brunette. Mm-hmm. Lizzie Lohan came to his defense for some
reason. Oh, Lord. Isn't she a mess in herself? Why would she be coming up with stuff like that?
Maybe she's grasping at straws trying to maybe he'll finance her next thing. Anyway, it would be so great to see that happen. Like
conveniently put himself in rehab.
Huh?
Conveniently put himself in rehab the day it came out.
I forgot to mention. Yes. That's the go-to move.
Right.
The go-to move is...
Right.
The go-to, you know, PR person will tell him...
Right.
You need to say... Admit that you have a problem. And say that you're seeking counseling.
Right.
And then, I mean, it's a perfect alibi. Yes. Right? You go into this, like, I'm seeking counseling. You go into some country club where no one can get to you.
Right.
You hang out and, you know,
right,
do whatever. David Duchovny did the same thing. He said he was a sex addict when him and Tia Leone got divorced.
Okay.
Yeah. Same move. I have a bad sexual addiction, and I'm seeking treatment.
Right.
Oh, all your sins are forgiven.
Right. Right.
So there's that. Studio Crepe closed. I never got there. You got there?
I did. I did go there at least once. Talia went a lot. She loved it. And it was great food, great atmosphere. Lisa Waring worked there. She was his restaurant manager.
Oh, that's right. Our friend Lisa that used to own the lobster pool.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot that she worked there. I have to reach out to her, see how she's doing, see what her next move is.
Yeah, and right, because she was his restaurant manager, and he was so personable. You know, he was great. But I love the article. So basically, the Gloucester Daily Times, did pretty much an interview. So it wasn't just an article about Studio Crepe just closing. They asked him questions like, basically, why are you closing? Or what made it more difficult? You know, was it the location? Or like really, really asking. So I really like that that style, because you usually don't see the Times just do that style. They just flat out write.
Yeah.
So because David got to speak in his own words. So that's why, you know, basically he was talking about how crepes are very niche, right? So that's all he had. So he wasn't able to, you know, he wasn't classified as either comfort food where you could have done burgers and mac and cheese and things like that. Is that kind of, it was too niche, right? And he had talked about him owning other businesses in the past and talking about his aha moments with owning this restaurant. It was great. I really did enjoy it, and I thought it was great too, because not every restaurant closes because they fail.
Done.
And that's the misconception, is that, oh, they closed, they didn't make it. Yeah. And that's a huge misconception.
I love Mamie's Kitchen.
And we didn't close because we failed. We're at the top of our game, is that we were exhausted. because why? We were talking about this. Every restaurant needs help.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Always. Well, consistently, we need help. And you think it's a dime a dozen to get waitresses or cooks or hostesses. It's not, because you want to pick someone that's going to represent your restaurant. And everyone has a different thought about what that is.
Yeah.
So.
No, I know. It's. I am in a lot of different kitchens, and every chef / owner, mostly owners, will tell you it's like next to impossible to find help. Like, you know, the seasonal places open up and they're willing to pay a little bit more because they know it's seasonal.
Right.
So they poach these, you know, people, and then it's just, I couldn't imagine. I think it's the toughest job in the world. I wanted to say, I found something. I didn't get the Studio Crepe, but every person that kind of mentioned it on social media or came in and talked about it said it was very unique. Like, they had like music in there and like funky kind of. It was a totally different kind of place. Am I right?
Right. So on the weekends, most of the time, he would have different local artists in there, or he had different artwork up, or he was all about bringing the community together.
Yeah.
So he would throw these different events, which is genius.
Yeah.
So they were talking about, well, where do you think the place is going to go now? And he says, and you know, people are commenting, well, I hope they keep the music alive there, because it is such a big space. And it's such a great space for a local musician to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So last night, just before I was going to go to bed, you know, I was scrolling through Facebook. And do you know J.D. Aspisi?
Yes.
You know him. Okay. Mm-hmm. He wrote that something to the effect that you got to go to Rockport House of Pizza because they have the best roast beef sandwiches.
Really?
Anywhere.
Huh.
And I'm like, and a bunch of people started commenting, yeah, I agree. Like Dusty Kachopoulos said, I agree. And I'm saying to myself, wait a second. Rockport House of Pizza, last time I went there was probably about 15 years ago.
Right.
And it was like, they served that same like kind of like Greek pizza, like that, you know, that greasy, remember CNA House of Pizza? That Greek style pizza where it's like...
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't even know that they served roast beef sandwiches there.
Right.
And for him to say it's the best anywhere, That was exactly what I said. I said, I am totally intrigued because this guy is a kind of a, I don't know J.D. Aspasi, but a good friend of mine, Mike Coderre, mm-hmm. knows him.
I'm very good friends with his wife. I'm very good friends with his wife. We just had dinner a couple weeks ago.
J.D. Aspasi's wife?
Yeah, Roseanne.
Okay.
I've known her whole life.
I don't know her.
Yeah, great family, great people, great couple. All great.
Well, he's going to do some really beautiful construction next to where Mike Coderre lives in one of those units to the left of, you're facing, where he's just cleared out that lot across from Shaw's.
Yeah, I went to Mike's house once with you.
Oh, okay. You better.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, yeah, sure yeah. Gorgeous, anyway, gorgeous lot.
Anyway, him saying that, so I consider this guy, even though I don't know him, because if Mike's a friend of his, then I consider him to be a man of the, you know, of a knowledgeable, like knows about life, like, you know what I mean? Because Mike Coderre is, he's on point. He's, you know, he is like a quality kind of guy and stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for J.D. Aspasi, who I don't know, to say that Rockwood House of Pizza has the best roast beef sandwiches around.
Right.
And I said, wait a second. I think Supreme's is okay.
Right.
It's good. Mm-hmm. If you're really craving a roast beef sandwich in Gloucester.
I like Mike's. Mike never changed. Even though they changed hands, their roast beef, I don't think it ever
Mike's
changed.
Was still, again, okay.
Yeah.
But, like, to me, the bar was Nick's. Like Nick's roast beef.
Yeah.
Like they toasted the bun. The roast beef was always perfect.
So is he saying,
he's saying the best.
So he's saying the best over Nick's?
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
That's why I'm saying, that's what I'm saying is.
So now we have to get
I
that.
Legit have to go to Rockport House of Pizza. And I feel bad. I'm not going to say I feel bad for J.D. Aspasi, but I feel like he has a lot riding.
Yes.
Credibility-wise.
Yes.
To make that kind of statement.
So you know what I think we should do? We did this... when you used to do... I don't know what you used to call them.
The challenges?
The
roast beef. We did the steak bomb challenge.
Right, exactly.
The pizza challenge.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I think we should do a roast beef one.
The Italian sub challenge?
Yeah. So why don't we do a roast beef one? And then bring them in.
We could do it. The only problem the only thing I see that could be make it difficult is that all these roast beef places are like 20 minutes in this direction, 20 minutes in this direction.
I don't want it cooked. I want it rare. I like a rare roast beef. So if we're going to have a roast beef, it needs to be rare. So that's how you're gonna choose a real roast beef is being rare. You're not going to choose it being
That's
cooked.
Your thing. I mean, mm-hmm. I like it too, but... You know,
you say, this
four,
no
we always
grease.
Had what, four
want
or five
no
judges?
Three ways. I want a roast beef with lettuce, mayo, and cheese.
No. You got it all wrong.
Oh, now you're going to be doing three ways?
I'm a three way.
No.
I'm a three way like or just sauce. That's
disgusting.
James River barbecue sauce. That's tradition. That's tradition.
No, I like my roast beef.
All right, if you ask, if you went to Nick's Roast Beef and you said, out of all the roast beef sandwiches that you sell, how are most of them dressed? I'm not even going to say three way. I'm going to say just the sauce.
No, I don't want the sauce.
I'm going to say the James River barbecue
sauce. Rare with
cheese
and lettuce and mayo. Straight up. That's all I want. So I won't be part of the challenge. You're going to be doing sauces.
Do you want to know what another mystery of roast beef mystery is of mine?
What?
Here's another roast beef mystery. How is it that Nick's Roast Beef, directly across the street from Nick's Roast Beef, there's a roast beef joint?
Right. I'm sure it's not the same one, right? I'm sure it's probably changed out. There's no way. I mean, Nick's has been there forever and ever and ever.
Is it bizarre to you? No, they're still operational.
Well, maybe they sell more than just roast beef.
But they build themselves. The big part of their sign says roast beef. It's like, it's one of the life's great mysteries to me. How does this place survive directly across from Nick's Roast Beef?
That's true.
Is that an enigma?
Well, I mean, is no, it crazy? Because like, you know, downtown you have a hair salon going every other one, right? We have like 50 downtown.
That's different.
How are they all in business?
No, that's different. That's
it's
different.
Not different.
Oh, much different. A roast beef sandwich could be different than mushrooms. I mean, when you're
How
away
you
from
go against
the standard. So, anyway.
So what are we at for time?
54 minutes.
I think that's perfect.
I think it's
perfect. I do. You know what? I love to end my podcast between 50 and 60 minutes.
Leave them wanting more.
Right. Even though last night was the longest one at an hour and 22. But I think I just think that's a good
So thing. I have this yellow piece of paper. Wait. Look on your phone. See if Maria answered you. That's
she
all.
She didn't, yeah.
Didn't. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But we started, you got here like an hour ago.
Yes.
We had a blank yellow piece of paper and now we filled it with topics. When you came here, I'm like, it's just me and Alicia. How are we going to fill an hour? We told her we could go with the topics that we have listed here. We could have gone another 20 minutes. I'm glad we're stopping right now.
Yeah.
But it's been the Alicia Unleashed podcast. What number is it?
69.
Boom! Shakalaka! Everybody have a great night.
Peace out.